Okay, we start at the bottom of Chav Vav and Mabeh. We just go over the Gemara after the Mishnah, just to clarify so we get a clearer picture. I don't think maybe it wasn't clear enough yesterday. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, Afilu Menochim Agavi Shulchan. So Rabbi Lazar says that when it comes to the Shulchani, right, we have the three locations, which are there is from the Shulchan to out to the customers. It's where Shulchan or the Kisei, where the Shulchan is sitting on, to the Shulchani himself. And then there's a placement on top of the Shulchan, on top of the Shulchan, where the money changing takes place. So the Mishnah really only addresses, we're going to see in a second, only addresses two of those issues. The Mishnah only addresses between the Kisei, where the Shulchan is, and the Shulchani, and, right, beyond the Shulchan, meaning that beyond the Shulchan, out towards the customers. So because of that, we don't know what the din of the Shulchan is. Rabbi Elazar comes and makes a definitive statement that on the Shulchan, Arayin Shalom, that on the Shulchan, it belongs to the customer. The customer, that area on the Shulchan is classified as being quasi-Rishit Rabim. Because of that, anything that's found on there is Harei Shalom. Now Rashi says over here, he changes the gear, so Rashi makes sure the gear over here is not Lokasin and Tzorin, money that is packaged, because that would have some sort of a siman on it. Tosfos, on the other hand, is willing to say that it's Tzorin, you can keep the gear in plaque, but you just have to say that there's Akum there. There's Akum over there, so therefore he gives up. He has Yeush, because he doesn't expect to get it back. Obviously, if it's all Jews, and there's a siman on it, he does expect to get it back. Alright, now, Tanan. So Gemara tries to bring from our mission. Lifnei HaShulchani, Arielu Shalom. That which is in front of the Shulchani, it belongs to him. How Gavei Shulchan? We can infer from that, whichever is on the Shulchan, the Shulchani, that belongs to the Shulchan. Gemara says, Ema Seifa, wait a minute. If you want to medayek that way from the ratio, what about the Seifa? Ben a Kisei, the Shulchani, between the Kisei that holds up the Shulchan. And the Shulchani, Shal Shulchani, that belongs to the money changer. How Gavei Shulchan? Shalom. Implies that on the Shulchan, it's his, meaning belonging to the finder. Ella, mehal lekha lemashmina. Our Mishnah is inconclusive. I mean that you can't be medayek from either side of our Mishnah because it's inconclusive. Now, Rabbi Elazar ha menali. So then, if our Mishnah is inconclusive and you can't get this deal, where did Rabbi Elazar get this? Where did Rabbi Elazar get this din? So I'm Rabbi Matnitan Kashite. Our Mishnah was difficult for him. My Arya, the Tani ben Kisei the Shulchani. Why does the Mishnah, when it's telling you what belongs to the Shulchani, Why does it say between the kisei, meaning between that which is holding up the shulchan and the shulchani, shul shulchani, litnei, that it should have written, right, not just litnei, what was in ben kisei the shulchani, but also, here the gach says, litnei agabe a shulchan, right, if it was on the shulchan, it belongs to the shulchani, and certainly anything between the shulchani and the shulchan would be his. You tell us that what's on the shulchan is the shulchani, then anything closer to him, of course, will be his. So now Gemara says, all right, now if you do that, you run into a problem, and you say, wait a minute, but we just said before that the Mishnah is not Medayek either way. So now all of a sudden you're being Medayek again, that, oh, because it says between the Kisei and the Shulchani, then, oh, that means that the Shulchan belongs to Harei Shalom. So what would you answer? You'd answer, you want to keep it as a parallel structure. Just like by the Chanut, we say, right, between the Chanut, between the Chenvani and the, right, counter, basically, where he works, at the Chenvani, between the Teva and the Chenvani, that is what's qualified as the Chenvanis. So say the reason you shouldn't be able to be medayek from the Seifa, or from this piece, is because it's parallel structure what the Chenvani does. Just like by the Chenvani it says Ben Teva Chenvani, so it's over here it says Ben Hakisei the Shulchani. So don't be medayek anything. Gemara says, okay, if you want to do it with parallel structure, then you got to do the whole Mishnah. See, Nami, Motzo B'Shulchanot. Right, so then if that's the case, you want to use parallel structure, then in the Mishnah it should say Matzah B'Shulchanot, and not what we have. We have is what's Matzah Lifnei HaShulchani. In the first case in the Mishnah, what is by Chenvani, what does it say? A person finds Matzah Ma'ot B'Chanut. He finds it in the store. Now, if you wanted to have the same structure, same language in the Shulchani segment, you would say Matzah B'Shulchanot. Now here, Matzah Shulchanot doesn't mean on the tables, but Matzah Shulchanot means in the money-changing area. I mean, there must have been, whether it's a store or a number of money changers. So Matzah B'Shulchanot would be the equivalent of Matzah B'Chanut. The fact that the Mishnah deviated from that Lashon already is indicative of what? So Kirik Tani Reisha, just like the Reisha says, Matzah Chanot Shalom. And why does it say here Matzah Shulchanot? Elishma Mina, there you conclude, Afilu Munachim Agabi Shulchan Harei El Shalom. And that's why he uses the term Lifnei HaShulchani. Lifnei HaShulchani encompasses also the Shulchan. Lifnei HaShulchani is not just what's on the floor, but it's also what's on the Shulchan, because that's also Lifnei HaShulchani. So if you want to, either one of the two ways you're going to be Metayek. Either you're Metayek from the Seifa, right, that it's Ben HaKisei the Shulchani. And if you want to say Ben HaKisei the Shulchani, you can't be Metayek, because that's the same way it says it in the Reisha, in terms of Chenvani and Teva. Then what about the ratio? The ratio should have been a parallel structure as well. The fact that it's not a parallel structure comes to teach you that lifnei shulchani doesn't simply mean in front of his table, but it means in front of him literally. In front of him literally means that you can take that which is on the shulchan. Alright? Now next case. Alokeach perot mechaverot. This is the last line in the Mishnah. It says if you buy perot from your friend and all of a sudden you find money inside the bag, you get to keep it. So I'm Reish Lakish Mishim Rabbi Yanai, Loshana El Balokeach Minatagar. This only works when he bought from a tagar. Now Rashi says, what's a tagar? What's the issue with the tagar? She says, the top Rashi, She'af hu lakach tuwa zum anashim harbeh. It said, you buy it from a merchant, and that merchant is buying it from numerous suppliers. So at this point, when the merchant's selling it to you, there's no way to know who this belongs to. The money inside, this loose change that's found inside the bag, could belong to any a number of the merchants that sold the merchandise to this chanut, to the storekeeper, to this retailer. So because of that, right, we don't know who it is. And then since there's no siman, why is there no siman? Because it's loose change inside the bag. Therefore we say, nityashu abalim. Whereas, if you buy directly from the supplier, right, meaning that here, balabayit is equivalent to supplier, you buy it from the supplier, then the balabayit he's the only one who could have put money in there. Who else would have put money into the bag except the balabayit? So over there, chayav lachzir, then you would have to give back even though it's loose change. Because the fact that it's found inside the bag, that's enough to tell you that it belongs to the balabayit. Because nobody else interacted with these fruits besides the supplier, and now you, the buyer.
And where makom is the siman?
I'm sorry?
Makom is the siman here?
Not necessarily makom, because we said before, when you have a kli, right, or you have perot, something that's indicative of something with a siman that's indicative of another item, that also drags the other item along. So here, because the bag and the fruits we know clearly came from the balabayit, they will indicate, it will define for us that the money also belongs to the balabayit, not that the money is a siman there, but it's the location within the bag, not because of makom, because of its association with the bag and the fruits. That would make it into a siman. Now Tosus quotes Rashi. He says, why doesn't in Tomar, Amai lo muki belokeach shu tagar? Right? Rashi sets up the case that you're a buyer, you go into the store, you buy it from a retailer who bought it from numerous suppliers. Tosus says, why don't we just set up the case that it's the tagar himself? It's the shopkeeper himself. The shopkeeper himself is also buying from multiple suppliers. So there's no way for him to know where it came from when he's buying from multiple suppliers. So why do we go so far to say it's the customer instead of the retailer himself? So Tosa says, V'yishlo mark lo psikale. It wouldn't be a clear case. Why? What does the shopkeeper do? The shopkeeper buys from numerous suppliers, and then he puts them all into a single bag or a single display. So once he moves it into the single display, then there's no way for him to know where it came from or whose it is, because they're all mixed up. But before that point, they still come in the supplier bags. So before that point, he would know, or he'd have some sense of where the money came from, and therefore he should have to return it. So that's the first thing Tosa says. He says also, he says that the other answer is, Loshano ela belkeachin etgar shenu dea, lemilach zir, ola tagar, ola balabayit. The case only works when you're a customer, because we don't know to return it to the merchant, or the retailer, or to the suppliers. I mean, it's not clear where that money came from. It's not clear if it came from the supplier and it came from the tagar. But for the tagar, right, it could be that the tagar himself knows, because he knows where he buys it from. He knows his buy. It's clearly not his. So the only question is the supplier, so he might have known who the supplier was. But he says, those again, that it's not psikale, because it has to do with the amount of time that the retailer is holding onto it. Why? Because if the supplier put money into this bag, realizes it after he sold it to him, if it's amount of time that the retailer would have sold it already, he's miyayish, because he assumes it's not getting it back. On the other hand, if there is, right, not sufficient time that he's resold it, there would be, again, a possibility that he could get it back, and there wouldn't be yayish. So again, it's not psike le milsa. So that's what Tosa says. Tosa says it gives two explanations of why tagar himself, the retailer himself, was not the case here, but rather the customer, because the retailer could know who it is, depending on how long he has it, whether he mixed the bag or didn't mix the bag, or because of the yeush of the supplier, due to how long does the retailer have it, enough time to resell it, or not enough time to resell it. Because of that, the case that we use, the Rashi's case, is the case of a customer. Right now, v'chein tani tanak amid Rav Nachman, lo shna l'vokeach min atagar. It's only when you buy from the retailer. Rav l'vokeach min balabayit, if you buy directly from the supplier, chayav l'chzir. Amalei Rav Nachman, v'chi balabayit atzmo d'ashen? Wait a minute. Right, is the balabayit himself, it's not, I mean that, would you see a Jew A Jew doesn't do that type of work, right? The farmer, he doesn't go and pile it up and put it all together and dashing the food. He hires workers to do that. He's hiring workers to do that. How do you know that it belongs to the Baal HaBayit? Right? So Amalei Isme. So he says, all right, get rid of this price. Get rid of this memo. So he says, hello, to Dargim Yomastisan. No, don't get rid of it, but explain it this way. You go into the Shana Yideh Abdov Shivchato HaKnanim. That the work was done by his Eved Knani and Shivchat Knani, who belonged to him, and therefore if they find something, what's the din of an Aveda that's found by Shivchat Knani or Eved Knani, or what's the din with it? They don't have independent ownership. Since they don't have independent ownership, there's only one possibility, that it belongs to the Baal HaBayit. So even though the Baal HaBayit himself is not the one who did the work, but the people, the agents, his agents that did the work are people who are, quote unquote, owned by him, and he has total ownership. If that's the case, then anything you find does belong to the Baal HaBayit. Okay, next Mishnah. As asimla aita bichla. It's when it comes to the pasuk of aveda, right, there are a number of it says the chol aveda tachicha, that everything that your friend loses. But also in the pasuk, it also it mentions, right, enumerates certain detailed items: sif, chamor, shor, and simla. So here the mission says, what does this word simla come to teach you? Af simla aita bichla kol elu. V'lama yatzat. So why does it leave? Why is it excluded from the other items? Akishala to teach you akish. L'ma nocha. Mas simla miyuchedet sheish bas simanim. Just like a simla is unique in the fact that it has simanim. Ve'yeshla tovim. And has claimants. It has someone's going to come and claim it. Afko devar sheish bas simanim. Ve'yeshla tovim chayav lachviz. It's defining for us, right, that it has simanim. It has a claimant. And because of that, that'll tell us what type of aveda must you return. As Rashi says, stam simla. Yesh bas siman. Stam simla has some sort of siman associated with it, meaning that it's usually unique, especially not me today. Maybe not as much because they mass produce things that there's a they are some sort of generic types of items. But on the other hand, in their day where things were made by hand and it wasn't produced mass production, then every item is unique. It has a siman in general. The chol simla yesh la balim tovim ota. Since it's not something that happens naturally, it has to be made. By definition, there's someone who owns it, right? A clothing can't be, just doesn't show up all of a sudden. It's made. If it's made, that means that somebody owned it at some point in time, and there is a claimant that will come here. Now, Tosus is very, very important. Tosus here. Tosus really relates to the beginning of the Perek, but Tosus over here asks a simple question. How do we know that Yeyush works in the Torah? Where do we know Yeyush from in the Torah? He says, the Gemara Baba Kama says, how do we know that Yeyush works by Gzeila? Say, because we learn it out from Yeyush by Avedah. Tosus says, where do we know Yeyush by Avedah? What's the source for Yeyush min HaTorah? So here, Tosus brings down two answers. One answer is our Mishnah. This is it. This Mishnah is the source for Yeyush min HaTorah because of Simla. Just like Simla is miyuchedet, that it has Simanim and has Tovim, has someone who's going to claim it. Therefore, what would be the conclusion from that? That if it does not have Simanim, right, then the Balim would give up hope and you would not have to return it. Tosus says, even according to the one who says Simanim lav deoraisa, even according to one who says that simanim are not oraisa, nevertheless, the simanim are important. Why are they important? Because we need edim. We need edim to come to testify about the object that belongs to whom, and the edim can only identify the object through simanim. So in order to bring edim, you still need simanim. Not that simanim are oraisa, but the edim need the simanim to get through to the object. And because of that, we can prove from here that if it lacks simanim, there is yeush. Because either simanim are what allow you to get the object back, or they allow you to get edim to help you get the object back. So since simanim are pivotal in getting the object back, if it lacks simanim, that means what? There is yeush, right? There's no way to get it back, and we give up hope, and that's the source for yeush. That's one possibility. Tosus brings a second possibility. She brings from the Yushalmi. Rabbi Yochanan Yushalmi asks, right, where is yeush min HaTorah? Rabbi Yochanan quotes in the Yushalmi a limud that we had back on Daf Chof Bet, right, in the beginning of the parak. There's a limud there, and we have it here again later on today's Daf, which is a limud that Chol by aveda tachi manai the aveda sheshatfa nar shimuteret. I know that an aveda that was washed off by the river that it's muteret. V'chein v'chein taseh lechomero v'chein taseh lechol v'chein taseh lechol avedet achicha asher tovad mimenu, that is lost for him umitzatam, and somebody finds it. What, remember what the Brice said over there? Brice said over there that means that only things that are lost from him, right, but not lost from others, are classified as aveda. But something that's lost from him and from others, right, that is classified as a complete aveda. Over there, the Gemara was using it simply for a shatfanar, where nobody has any idea where it is. Over here, we're learning about the fact that it lacks simanim. There's no way to know, right, who has it, or if it's even found by others, they don't know who to return it to. So because, therefore, it's completely lost, there is no din of hashavas aveda. So that's the source of the Yushalmi. Just to speak about on the Shabbos, that was the Shabbos stop, at the beginning of Mitzvot, I also spoke about some of the dinim of Yeush. What's the concept behind Yeush, and what's the Chakira in Yeush, which makes it work. Alright, now the Gemara says, my bichlal koledu. What does it mean that Simla is included on all the other things that are mentioned there? Amarova bichlal, kol avedat tachicha. It's included in kol avedat tachicha. There's a general term in the pasuk that says kol avedat tachicha. You don't need Simla, that's included under kol avedat tachicha. It says Amarova, lama litachdi brahmana, shor, kamor, se, v'simla. Alright, now, if you want to say that that's the problem, fine, you took care of Simla, but you didn't take care of shor, kamor, and se. What are you going to do with them? We need them all. Had it only written in a simla, have a mina hanimili be'edim degufa besimanim degufa. I would have thought that means what? That depending whether you think simanim deraisa, just clear this up now. That if you think simanim deraisa, you can come collect it with simanim. If you don't think simanim deraisa, you need edim. So here, the Gemara is always going to name a case of edim and simanim. So here, by simla, what are they testifying about? Or what siman are you bringing? You're bringing about the simla itself. But the object itself. But you would have thought about chamor, the edim du kaf, right? If you were talking about a chamor that has a saddle on it, and you're identifying the chamor through the saddle, we see manim du kaf, or the simanim du kaf, emelo, mahadrin and lay, maybe we won't return it to him. Katab rachmano chamor, right? That even by a chamor we would return it. Dafilu chamor, we see mane au kaf. That you can even have a chamor back with not the chamor itself, but the saddle that goes on the chamor is enough to identify the chamor. Shor b'seh, b'shtiv rachman alamali. So what are you going to do with shor b'seh? Shor, dafilo de gizat zanvo. When it comes to a shor, it's even for the gizah of its tail, right, for the shearings of its tail. I mean, even though it's worth less than a shabbat prutah, this is what Tosas asks. What's the habamina? Why shouldn't you have to return the gizat zanvo? The Tosas says, if it's above a shabbat prutah, then certainly you have to return it. If it's less than a shabbat prutah, then you shouldn't have to return it. So he says, no, that the indication here is, even though it has a less than a Shabbat Pruta, you have to be gozeis, you have to shear it. When you're taking care of the animal, you have to take care of it like the Balim would have taken care of it. So there's no threshold of Shabbat Pruta and less than a Shabbat Pruta when it comes to taking care of the animal. So that's what Tosfos says over here. When we're talking about Gizat Zango, it means when you shear the animal, you have to shear the tail. Even though that's not a big money item, you still have to do everything to take care of the animal. Right now, Vaseh, the Gizel Tav. And it said for its shearing. So Mar says, wait a minute. The Kov Rahman is sure. I mean, if you know they have to take off the little shearings in the tail of the shore, of course you have to take care of the seh himself. It's a kal v'chomer. What do you need the word seh for at all? El amarovo chamor debor the Rabbi Yehuda v'seh d'aveida l'divir kol kasha. If you remember, we had this back in Baba Kamo. Right? In Baba Kamo, the Gemara says that when the pasuk of shore and chamor by bor, the chamim learned shore v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim. To tell you that adam and kelim are p'turim in the adam that mace and the kelim that break are patur in a bor. Rabbi Yehuda believes that kelim are chayav in a bor. So what does he do with the word chamor? The Gemara says, we don't know. We don't know what the limud for Rabbi Yehuda is by chamor. And seh d'aveida, that we mentioned at the time, we didn't get involved in, but this word of seh by aveida, did I call kasha? Right, everyone, it's a kash. I mean, that we don't know what the limud is. Not that there is no limud, but there is a limud, but just we don't know what it is. That limud comes from the word seh. Ve'imah, so let us say the klalalim. Hu da'ata, why don't we say it comes for the dung that is produced by the animal? It says, klalim, afkurei, mafkirlu. Anybody who has an animal, and then they have dung, and someone else takes care of the dung, they're mafkir the dung to them. Because for the tircha of them having to take care of the dung, then whoever owns it is always mafkira to them. The Dilma Simanim Hudaata. Ooh, that would be great. What? Let's say Seh comes to teach us about Simanim. Dibaila, Simanim Daraita Hudarabanan. Are Simanim Mina Torah or Midarabanan? So Kotav Rahmano said, Afilu Simanim Mehadrinan. Seh comes to teach us that even with Simanim, you return it Minha Torah, Simanim Daraisa. Simanim would be Midaraisa. Mar says, Imre Migtani Luhu Tano, the Simanim Gabi Simla. Our Mishnah, which mentions Simla, there the Tana says what? That Simla is the one that has Simanim. The Tana mas Simla miyuchel sheish ba Simanim, v'yesh latovim, chayev lachriz. Alko tavar sheish ba Simanim, v'yesh tovim, chayev lachriz. Shma mina, the Seh love the Simanim, hu da'ato. It's clear that Seh is not the lima that they need for Simanim. They already have that in Simla. We're going to see the Gemara rejects it from Simla later on. But the fact is that the Tana already thinks that simanim come from simla. So the Tana must have a belief that says teach him something else besides simanim if he's using simla to teach him simanim. So the mere fact, that fact makes it that seh, we don't have any limud for seh. Again, not that there is no limud, but we just don't know what that limud is. Right, Tana Rana. Asher tovad, prata aveda, shein ba, shove pruta. Right, so to exclude an aveda, meaning when it says asher tovad that you lost, right, prata aveda, shein ba, shove pruta. Excluded is something you lose that's less than a shove pruta. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, umetzata, that you find it. It comes to exclude an avida that you find, right, that is not a shavu puta. Ma benayu. What's the difference between their opinions? There is no nafkamina with him. They're just darshaning the psukim, which way makes more sense to them. Mar nafka lehim asher tovad. One of them learns it out from asher tovad. Umar nafka lehim metzata. Olaman, the nafka lehim, the one who learns it out, asher tovad, hayu metzata, may avid leh. What is he going to do with the word umetzata? That we have back in the Gemara and Bava Kama. The Gemara and Bava Kama wanted to suggest that maybe when it comes to Avedat Achicha, that you have to return an Avedo only if he's a Jew, if he's a Achicha, maybe that only applies when you're passing by in the street. When you're passing in the street, you don't have to return it. But maybe once you've taken the Avedah, you must return it even to an Akum, even to he's not your Achicha. So over there, Ravina says, no, the Pasuk says, Umitza'ata. Umitzata implies that you actually found it and you have it in your hand already. So even though you have it in your hand, the pasuk still says achicha, that you only have to return it to a Jew and not to an akum. Well, the man did not forget umitzata. The one who learns it out from umitzata, Rabbi Yehuda, hayasher tovad menu. What does he do with that? Hayavidleim, my avidleim, mi bayleik Rabbi Yochanan. It is Rabbi Yochanan. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, mishum Rabbi Shimon Bayochai. So this is what we just quoted, right? How we know that an aveda that is lost, that was washed away by the river, that is muteret. Never came to say the chol v'etachicha asher tovad me menu umitzata mishavudo menu umutzia etzol kol adam. That which is lost to you but found by others. Yetsu shavudo menu ve'nu mutzia etzol kol adam. Here is something that's lost and nobody's going to find it because it's washed away by the river. Vida had Ravina menole. So what is it? Where is he going to learn out? Rabbi Yehuda, where is he going to learn out the din of Ravina from? Afilei umitzata. Right, it's not just mitzata, umitzata. So that's the extra vav there. Vida chad Rabbi Yochanan minalei in the Tana Kamo. Right, where does he learn out the din of Rabbi Yochanan from? Because he already used asher tovad mimenu. So minalei afilei mimenu, because it says asher tovad. That would have been enough to teach me the din of less than asher pruta mimenu. That teaches me, mimenu, teaches me that it has to be not just from him, but right, only from him and not from others. V'idach mimenu lo mashmalei. And Rabbi Yehuda, mimenu doesn't, you know, to him doesn't sound like a separate limud. Right now, that's a biased position. A biased position simply is that there is mashmalut dorshim. Rabba comes and says no. Rabba says there is a nafkamina between them. Why is there a nafkamina between them? He says, look at where they learned it out from. One of them learns it out from asher tovad mimenu. What does it mean, asher tovad mimenu? It was lost from him. What does that mean? That means that the loser, the one who lost the object, right, is the focus there. Umitzata, who's the focus of the mitzata? The finder? The finder. So now, when we determine shoda pruta, are we defining it by the person who lost the object? Or are we defining it by the person who found the object? So when, which one is defining the shoda pruta? Who cares? Right, because either way, it doesn't matter, because less than a shoda pruta is going to be fine. Well, it matters if the object changes value. And that's what Rava's about to say. Rabbi Mar Pruta Shuz Laika Benayu. A Pruta that went down in value, something that was worth a Pruta when it was lost, right? But it was found when it was less than a Pruta. Manda Mershe Tovadika. The one who says that the loser has to lose something worth a Sheva Pruta, he did. He lost something worth a Sheva Pruta. Manda Mumatata Leka. But the one who says you have to find something worth a Sheva Pruta, you didn't find something worth a Sheva Pruta, so you shouldn't have to return it. Mar says, the Manda Mershe Tovad. Wait, even according to one who says that it's lost, he still requires you to find it. But like on that, you have it, don't have. So that won't work. Ella pruta shuhukra, you give me now. No, something that was worth less than a pruta when it was lost, and it went up in value. Madamar mitzata, the one who says when you find it, it has to be worth a pruta. Ika, that's what you have here. Madamar shetuvad leka, the one who says it has to be lost when it's worth a shuvah pruta, it wasn't lost when it was a shuvah pruta. Olamandamar mitzata, the one who says you find it. Habin and asher tovad, it still has to be lost, right? I mean that even though you have to find it, you still have to lose it to find it. So v'leka, and that doesn't exist here. Ella, this is the case, which is an interesting case here. Ella, it's a case, she, I'll use the gears of the Bach over here. Pruta shehuzla, v'chazar v'hukra, ikabinayu. There's a case where it was worth a pruta when he lost it. It went down in value, I mean it went less than a pruta, and then it went back up to a value of a pruta when it was found. So both when it was lost and it was found, it was shaveh pruta, but in the interim, it went down to less than a pruta. So ma, ikabinayu, ma damar shetova adika. According to one who says that it had to be lost, when it was lost, it was shaveh pruta, that was the case. Madar mitzata, bein edit bashir mitzia mishata beta, bad shat mitzia. When it says, umitzata is the defining, or defines what is a shaveh pruta, then he says it has to be a shaveh pruta from the moment it's lost, the time it's found. Why? Because it says, asher tovad mimenu, umitzata. That vav you say, right? Umitzata indicates that from asher tovad mimenu all the way to umitzata has to be a shaveh pruta. So that'll be the machlokus between them if there's a change in the value in the interim. Of course, everybody believes or needs you to have a losing of the object when it's worth a pruta, and finding when it's worth a pruta. The only question is, do you need it to be worth a pruta for the entire duration? According to Asher Tovad Mimenu, the one who went to the Asher Tovad Mimenu, the Tanakama, that is not the case. As long as the Asher Pruta when it's lost, and when it's found, that's fine. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, it has to be worth the Asher Pruta all the way through, because it says, Umitza'ata, that from the time that it was lost, from the time that it's found, it must be worth a Shavet Pruta. Right now, Ivailu, now we get back to this question that we had above. Simanim de'oraita o de'rabanan. Simanim mina Torah or mi de'rabanan. My nafkamino. Who cares? What's the difference? If they are mi de'oraita or mi de'rabanan. Gemara says, well, it depends what you want to return. La dure get. When it comes to returning a get, isha b'simanim. If you want to return a get, isha b'simanim, that would be the question here. Iyamar de'oraita, if you say simanim de'oraita. Right, then mehadrina, then we return the get. So again, Rashi sets the case up here. Shliach is bringing a get to a woman, he loses the get. And he wants to have simanim to be able to give the get and keep the get as a get lishma, it's the same get that he brought from before. So if it was simanim d'oraisa, then we would return it to him. V'yamar d'rabonon, if you say that simanim are only me d'rabonon, ki abu d'rabonon takanta b'mamona. Their chumim made a takana, they only made it in mamon. Because why? The hefker based in hefker. They have a right to do that by mamon. Abo b'isura. But when it comes to Yisura, the Rabbanan would not have established such a takana. Tashma. Let's look from our Mishnah. Afa simla ita bichlal koledu. The simla was included there. Mlama yatzat la'kishela. Lomacha mas simla miyuched sheish bala simanim beish la tovim chayav lachriz. Av kol davar sheish lo simanim beish la tovim chayav lachriz. So over here you have our Mishnah explicitly saying that what's the purpose of Simla in the Torah? To teach you that you need Simanim, or you can use Simanim. If that's the case, then our Simanim are Doraisa. Simla is from the Torah, that would be Simanim Yerusha. Ve'esh lo tovim, chayv lachriz. I'll call the Rashi Yishba Simim, ve'esh lo tovim, chayv lachriz. Tana, tovim, itzrichle, Simanim, kedei naspa. The Gemara says an interesting thing over here. The Gemara says no. What you need in order for it not be Yeush is tovim. You need someone to be a claimant. Simanim! That is a kedei naspa. The Mishnah brought it down. Simanim are not integral to the object being returned or the object being lacking yeush. Simanim are not the pivotal item. It's only tovim. That's what the cat matters. So why did they bring simanim? He says simanim is kedei naspa, meaning that without any pasuk. But he just was so mechid on the pasuk also. I mean, it's really midrabanan. It was so mechid on the krah. And again, he needs the simanim either for the edim, because they need have to be able to identify the object also. Not that simanim are derisive, but they have to be able to testify about the object. Right? Even though these simanim are not going to help him get back his object. Tashma. Chamor b'simanei ukaf. Didn't we say before that chamor can be returned with the simanim of the ukaf? So, if you can be returned with the simanim of ukaf, right, then what does it help you? Gemara says, Amar be'edei ukaf. No, not talking about simanim ukaf, but we're talking about edei. You have to amend it to read. The brayta has to read be'edei ukaf and not simanim ukaf. So we'll get rid of that. Tashma. Vayayim chad rosh achicha uto. So the object, when you find the aveda, should be with you until the way the simple pashup shah in the pasuk is ad rosh achicha uto, until your brother, the person who lost it, comes and asks you for it. What do you mean? You think you're going to give it to him before he comes and asks you for it? You don't know who it belongs to. So what, how can you give it to him? Of course you have to wait for him to come. Ella darsheyu. This is the way you learn. Im ramayu o eino ramay. Drosh is not referring to the, right, drosh achicha. It's not modifying the achicha who's coming to find it, but rather drosh is a command to you. The action or the verb is referring to the one who found it. Drosh achicha, you investigate your friend who's coming to collect the item. What? Check out if he's a cheater or if he's not a cheater. My love, how do you check whether someone's a cheater or a liar? How do you know? My love, bit simanim. You have to do it with simanim. So, if that's the case, simanim are de oraisa. The Gemara says, lo, beidim. Check him out with eidim. Don't check him out with simanim, but rather check him out with eidim. What does it mean, check him out with eidim? Right, so Rashi over here says, check him out with eidim. She'er vi eidim, who shall lo. He'll bring eidim, that is actually his object. On the other hand, the Balamur writes that he should bring eidim, sheinu raman. He should bring eidim that testify to his integrity. Versus Rashi, who thinks that he'd bring eidim to testify about the object itself. Alright. Tashma. Ein me'idim ela apartzuf apanim im achotem. Here is, if someone sees a individual has passed away, is dead, and he wants to identify for the wife, so she won't be an aguna, wants to identify who this individual is dead. The only way that you can identify this individual is dead over here is through seeing his face with the nose. You have to see his face with the nose in it. Even though he has simanim in his goof, and on his kelav, which would be probably what he's wearing. So if that's the case, right, what do you see from this brisa? That simanim are lav deo raisa. Because we don't let you use simanim in the goof. Simanim are the begadim, we don't let you use them. Even though, right, we want to be free the zaguna over here. But free zaguna, that's a din of isur deo raisa. So if simanim work deo raisa, we should be able to use them. The fact that you cannot use them is indicative that it's simanim must only be mi terabanan. Shvamina simanim lav deo raisa. Gemara says no. Imre gufo daruch v'guts. Now, when we're talking about simanim don't work here, we're talking about simanim that are so generic that they are not really simanim. He says, he was a tall guy. He was a short guy. Tall guy, short guy, that doesn't really help us in identifying him. That's there are millions of tall and short people. Kelav, b'chashin and the sheila. What about his clothing? We worry about that he borrowed the clothing. That it's not necessarily his clothing, it could be someone else's clothing. So you're identifying him by the clothing? The clothing itself may not be an identifying mark because he doesn't have to necessarily be wearing his clothing. He could be wearing someone else's borrowed clothing. Says, wait a minute. If you're going to worry about borrowed items, then chamor simane ukaf eichem hadrina. Then how can you turn a chamor with its saddle based on the saddle? If people borrow, maybe borrow the saddle from his friend, how do you know that this is his chamor? So imre ukaf lo shule inshe. People do not borrow or lend out their saddles. Mishom de misakev le chamor because it wounds or irritates the chamor. In that every chamor has its own saddle. It's unique to the chamor, and therefore we don't lend them out. They're not items that tend to be lent out. So if your saddle is on this donkey, the likelihood is that it is also your donkey. Mar says another way to say kelav bichiurei sumke. When it's identifying the clothing, it's not giving a siman that is clear that this is unique to his clothing. He's just saying, it was white clothing or red clothing. I mean, he's giving, again, generic simanim that are not enough of a siman to have us believe that he knows who this individual is. Because white and red clothing, plenty of people have white and red clothing. Ella, hadatanya, what are you going to do with this, Raisa? Matzo kashubikis. A person finds a get that is tied to his wallet. Oba arnaki, or his, here, kis is like a money bag, and the arnaki is his wallet. Ubitabat, or his ring. Oshimatzo ben kelav, where he finds it amongst his own kelim in the house. Afiliz man ruba, even if it's a long period of time, kasher. Here's a shliach who's bringing a get. He finds it amongst his own stuff, either tied to something that belongs to him, that's unique to him, or amongst his kelim. Still a kasher get. We assume that's the get that he was bringing before it, and that's been there all the time. It says v'isakadat chashina l'sheila. If you worry about borrowing, kimatzo kashur b'kis amai kasher. If you think you find it tied to his money bag, nichosh l'sheila. Let us worry about it being borrowed. So Imre, Kis, V'arniki, V'tabat. You're talking about a money bag, a wallet, and a tabat, a ring. Lo mishale inche. People do not lend these items out. Kis, V'arniki, Mishum, Dimisamne. Right? You don't lend out a wallet and a money bag because it's a bad siman. It's a bad omen. Look at Rashi. It's an unbelievable thing. Menachashe, V'omer. A person is menachesh. Person like superstitious. And a person who gives over his arniki or his wallet or his money bag to another individual, it's as if he's given over to him his mazal. He's given over to him his mazal. Again, wow, unbelievable statement here that we worry about people would not lend it out because of a superstition. What about the Easter of Lotinachashu? Right, we just read it recently in the Parsha of Vayikra. You're not allowed to be superstitious. You're not allowed to look at omens. So Tosfos over here asked the question, right, Kedushim to you, right? Exactly. Lo tenachashu. Right? Vim tomer aktiv lo tenachashu. He says, Ishlomar, it's an interesting, Tosfos brings a quote here, Bishilei Bameisha. Quotes the Gemara from Bameisha, Armina, Kol Dabar Shiesh Bo Mishum Refuah, Bo Mishum Dachei Amuri. So there the Mishnah quotes a number of items that we're allowed to use that are not, right, that are midachei moni, they do strange types of refuot, and those strange types of refuot are midachei moni, you can't use them. So the Gemara over there defined and says, oh, there are certain other things that the Amori do. Where it says, if it's been proven to work, I mean, if it's a refuah that has data behind it, then it no longer has a din of darchei Amori. So that's what Tosfos quotes over here. I'm not sure what Tosfos is after. There the Gemara does not mention lo tenachashu. It's a different din of darchei Amori, not a din of lo tenachashu. So you have to have one possibility is that Tosfos used them as a single problem of lo tenachashu and darchei Amori. But even without that, I think you have to suggest, it's not clear to me what Tosfos is after here, but possibility is that Tosfos is suggesting that when you have either proof that it's happened or things we see, we have evidence that such a thing happens, that such an item, things take place, then it's no longer lo tenachashu. So if there, when people gave away their wallets or gave away their money bags, there was this idea that their mazal moved to this individual. So if there's ample evidence of that, that's not considered to be a michush. Otherwise I don't know how to explain what Tosfos is after. So where it says, lema ketanai, let us say that this is a machloket tanaim about the simanim. What is that? Emi divim ala shuma. Shuma is a birthmark. You're not allowed to testify about a birthmark when you're coming to talk to tell a woman about someone who passed away. You can't testify about a birthmark. Elazar ben Mehavaya omer meidin ala shuma. You can use a birthmark as an identifying mark. My law, v'hakamiflegei. This is what they argue about. The Tanakhama says simanim de rabbanan. Tanakhama believes that simanim are de rabbanan. Therefore, you can't use them to marry off a woman. Be'elazar ben Mehavaya says simanim de oraisa. And since they are de oraisa, you can marry off a woman with these simanim. Amarava, no. Kuleyama simanim de oraisa. Everybody believes that simanim are de oraisa. V'hacha b'shuma mitzuya b'ben gila v'hakamiflegei. Question about whether a certain birthmark is found with everybody ben gila. We'll explain what ben gila is in a second. One holds that a shuma, a birthmark, is found with everybody who is a ben gilo, and one says it's not found with ben gilo. What is ben gilo? So Rashi over here, it's interesting. Rashi over here defines ben gilo is hanolad b'shato shnodo b'mazal echad, that they're born under the same either constellation or born in the same zodiac sign. Because of that, they have the same mazal. So if it's ben gilo, that everybody born in that time period, whether under that constellation or during that mazal, they have the same identifying mark on their body. So that's one Rashi. Rashi in the Darim, if you remember, we had this in Rashi in the Darim and Daf Lamed Tanim Bet, when it comes to visiting a chole, there the Gemara says that you go visit a chole even if you're ben gilo. Even if you're ben gilo, you go visit the chole, because even though a ben gilo takes a portion of the choli with him, nevertheless he goes. There Rashi says ben gilo is zaken benar. He says that it has to be age. That you have to be in the same age group. That's what he calls ben gilo. The Ram in the Darim says, like Rashi says here, Rashi in the Darim says that Ben Gilo means born under the same mazel. But over here, Rashi, as opposed to Rashi in the Darim, who said Ben Gilo was the same age, over here says Ben Gilo says under the same constellation, under the same zodiac. Alright, now, the Gemara continues. Oh, that's one possibility of how to explain it. Not everybody born under the same constellation, same zodiac has the same markings. They're arguing about the fact of whether a shum'ah, probably not simanim, but a shum'ah, changes after death. I mean, does it change its color? Does death have some impact on these simanim? Marsava simanim, asun lishnao dachamita, they do change after death. Marsava simanim, asun lishnao dachamita, don't change after death. Again, the question of how long a person's dead, should obviously impact whether the simanim change or not. I don't know if this means immediately after death or means even after duration. Marks, simanim, shumot, these birthmarks do not change after death. The simanim dirabanan. Simanim are only dirabanan. V'hacha b'shuma siman muvhaku kamiflegei. They're arguing whether a shuma is a siman muvhak. Marsa v'shuma siman muvhaku. Shuma is a siman muvhak. It's a great siman. Marsa v'shuma lav siman muvhaku. It's not definitive. It's not a defined siman. Siman muvhak, then it's doreis, it's good. Marsa v'shuma lav siman muvhaku is dirabanan. And therefore, it's not a good siman. Now, Amarova. If you hold that simanim are not mina Torah, Heicha mehadrinan aveda b'simanim. How do we return an aveda b'simanim? Well, can we just say that? That's a takana derabanan of hefker based in hefker. That's why we return it when it comes to simanim derabanan. So the question must be, and this is the way Rashi formulates it, the question is, where did the Rabbanan base their takana on it? I mean, why did the Rabbanan create a takana? Something that is a safek. It's a question whether it's really his. And now the Rabbanan come in and are metaking that it should be his. So why would they create such a takana? So says, because the one who finds an aveda, is he would like to return it with simanim. Why? Because when he loses it also, that will turn him objects with simanim. So every finder would want to give it up to the person who has simanim because he'd want to be treated the same way if he lost an object. So I'm going to the Rabba, Rasafa says the Rabba, but what are you talking about? Nobody does. Right? It doesn't make sense here. You are suggesting, right, that who's the one who's going to worry about it? The simanim here. The one who found the Aveda. So the one who found the Aveda is willing to give it back with simanim because it's beneficial to him. Does he own the object? No, the Aveda doesn't belong to him. So now what is he doing? He's doing something that's beneficial to himself with someone else's money. He's saying, all right, if I return this guy's property with simanim, other people return me my property with simanim. But he doesn't own the object. So what is he, how could he require, or how could he say, good, I'll give it back to him with simanim, so somebody else can give back simanim. He's trafficking in objects that don't belong to him. Ella, the way the Gemara reads here, it's Rava saying this now, it says, Nechile the Bala Veda. The one who loses the object, it's good for him, may have simanim and mishkile. To have simanim and take it, mida yodot edim lately. He knows he has no edim about the object, so the only way for him to get it back, Amar, kuli amalo yada simanim muvakim dida. Nobody knows the simanim muvakim of it, and now ya even simanim muvakim dida v'shaklan onalei. I'll get the simanim muvakim of it, and I'll get it back. So this is where Tosafot asks the question, what do you mean, give the simanim muvakim? Right? If you say simanim muvakim, simanim muvakim are d'oraisa. We're talking about here, d'rabanan, the whole takana d'rabanan. So what does it mean, simanim muvakim? So Tosafot says here, the word simanim muvakim means lo simanim muvakim mamash. A muvakim is simanei chamero. They're better than other simanim. They're better than generic simanim, like color of the white and red beged, or tall and short by a person. So there's three levels of simanim. There's simanim muvakim, which work d'oraisa. Then there are simanim where we have a machlokes about them, which is whether they work mit derabanan or doraisa. That are simanim that are in between simanim vokim and generic simanim. Generic simanim don't work in mit derabanan. That's like white and red, unless it's defined of the object, tall or short. That don't work. Then there's the middle case of something better than that, but not siman muvak. So in that case, that's what we're talking about, simanim muvakim over here. Now, I will point out here, Rava again is interesting. Rava says that the Rabbanan here legislated. Rabbanan are legislating about the mindset of an individual, right? They're saying here, oh, people will think this way, and therefore the Chachamim legislated in that manner that people would think. I mean, that a Motzei Aveda would want it to work with Simanim, so therefore Chachamim go and legislate that way. It's very strange. Generally, we don't look at the Chachamim like that. They legislate in order to engender a certain behavior, not as a reaction to a certain behavior. But if you remember, we had a very similar idea back on Daf Yudbet, and it was Rav over there who said it as well. We had that by Maaser Ani. By Maaser Ani, we said that when the child of the individual the Ani is collecting follows behind him, even though he shouldn't be allowed to follow behind him, when he's the sharecropper, his child shouldn't follow behind him because whatever his child collects belongs to the father, and therefore he's not entitled to take from his own field, from his own sharecrop, he's not entitled to take Maaser Ani. There the Gemara says, Asu kizochem mishenu zochem. The Chachamim were metakein, legislated that even though technically he's not entitled to the money, he's able to take it. Why? Because all the Aniyim, the class of Aniyim, would want it to be this way. Since all Aniyim would want it, that when they're a sharecropper, their kid can follow behind them, therefore we were legislated that way. Again, over there, you're talking about the mindset of people, and the Chachamim then are going and legislating based on the mindset of people. So you see this consistent theme that Rava has here, in terms of civil law. When it comes to civil law, we look at what is the Heskeim Chevrati. We look at the...
It's kind of a social contract.
Exactly. We look at the social contract, exactly. But then Chachamim take the social contract and legislate the social contract. Exactly what I thought about yesterday. We're going to talk about the amazing thing that we do the same thing on your bets. That there's a social contract that all Aniyim, the class of Aniyim would want it this way, and the Chachamim went and legislated it that way. So over here, a person who loses something would want it to be this way, since he wants it to be the way, and it's a social contract, the Chachamim went and legislated that social contract.
Like, was, you know,
right? Ideas like that over there. But over there, again, the Chachamim pre-legislate. They're legislating in anticipation of a problem. Over here, they're saying that the individual himself feels this way, therefore let's go legislate based on his feeling. So I think it's slightly different than the other types of legislation the Chachamim make. There, they're trying to engender behavior and trying to promote a certain behavior. Over here, they see that a certain behavior is beneficial to everybody and people would want this, and therefore now let's go and legislate it. Elohad, it's not. What are you going to do with this mission? Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Echad Eloveh Mishloshah, Yagzeh Eloveh. Right, a person who finds a three shkarot put together, right, and they all have the same borrower, same debtor, right? Or the other hand, you find three documents, three loan documents that all belong to the one creditor, right? Then we return it to the malve. So it says, since when is it a benefit to the debtor to have it be given back to the malve? If you say it's all about a social contract and the benefit of the one who lost it, maybe the Lovet lost it here. And why is it his benefit that the Malvet can show up and take it back over here?
Wouldn't the parallel case really be that in the case where he is a lender, it would be needfully that such an instance
right. Is... you could say that, or you could say the better answer, which I was going to say here, is even better answer. Amalei, hatam svarahu. There, it's a logical argument. Over there, we're not dealing with simanim. That's interesting. Rashi over here, when he says, how do you give it back to him? He says, you have to give a siman of shlosha. You have to get the siman that there were three contracts there. When we learned the Gemara before, and I thought the Gemara reads pretty simply over here, that you don't have to give the siman at all. It's a mere fact, right, that there are three creditors or three debtors here, that's why you give it back. Strange to me that Rashi introduces the point here that if you want to be makzirit with a dim or a siman of three, doesn't seem to be the punch-up shot of the Gemara. Anyway, nevertheless, what's the reason you give it back here? Because it's faro, echad alove mishlosha, yachzir alove. The gabi love shkichik. Meaning that why else would these three documents be together unless they were all with the debtor? Meaning that it makes no sense that anybody else has them. Gabi love lo shkichik. They shouldn't be by the malve. Why should it be by one creditor? Should have three different documents that not all his? Shramina, right? Milove naful. They fell from the debtor. If you have a creditor, three documents are all from one creditor, you have to throw them out. The gabi malve shkichik. Makes sense that they belong to a creditor. Gabi malve lo shkichik. Why should they be by the debtor? The debtor has no instance like that. Ella haditznan. What are you going to do with the Mishnah? Matzah tachrik shel shtarot. Our Mishnah says you find a bundle of shtarot. Remember, we had a tachrik that rolled up, or a gudash shtarot tied up shtarot together. Or zeh yachzir. Achanami nechle lovela durle the malve. This isn't a good idea for the love. There, see my name. It's not good for the malve. Ella amar rova simanim deoraita. That simanim must be deoraita. Dichtiv. It says in the pasuk vayayim chad rosh achik oto. That's the pasuk we just quoted before. Vechi talei adatcha shidenu kodem shidushenu. How are you going to give it back to him before he comes and makes the claim to you? Ella darshehu imramaihu o in ramai. So you have to check out whether he is a ramai, is a cheater or not. Right? And lav, where do you do this with? Simanim, shmamina. Must be that you do it with simanim. Right? Then simanim must be deoraisa. Now Tosfos asks your question, Shaul over here. Here the question's better, which is, why don't you say that for the borrower, okay, this time the document goes back to the lender. But the next time when he's the lender, it'll go back to him. That's what Tosfos said. First Tosfos on Tavuk of Chet says, Im tomar inichalei, dechiyove lacher, lahajulei lididei. When he's a malve, it'll be good for him. Anybody who is will be a malve is good for him. Yesh lomar, deno rotzei lafsid atak, deliot besafek revach pam acheret. People aren't willing to lose today to make a buck tomorrow. I mean, today is today, and he'd rather not have the circumstance be against him today, even though it might be to his benefit later on. Again, when it's a regular aveda, that aveda doesn't cause a loss to the finder, because it never belongs to the finder. It's not money on the hell. Over here, we have a contract, a debt document. The debt document is actually going to cause him a loss, and there he wouldn't be willing to give up his rights. All right, we'll stop here.